Feed on the diet, Savior. If you are not fed with this diet, you can't rise. God is about to do something with our generation. Men who are sold out to God, men who are on fire, men whose eyes are fire, men whose feet are winged. We are the ones turning water to wine. We are the ones opening blind eyes. We are the ones healing the sick. And God said, I need something done on the earth. But Eliata, and he took him. In you and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Heavens are far away from the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts far away from your thoughts. How many of you remember that? Now, that is not to condemn the believer and then pass a statement of condemnation or inferiority upon yourself. You know, there are people that have taken that and they begin to say, well, God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We can never walk in God's ways. We can never think God's thoughts. That is not his motivation. Amen. Remember, he's talking to people who are not born again. Hallelujah. And there are possibilities that we have in the New Testament. Are you with me? There are possibilities that we have in the New Testament that was not affordable to the people in the Old Testament. Very important. In the New Testament, we are admonished to have the mind. In fact, we are told that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, that means we have access to his ways and access to his thoughts. Or better put this way, we have access to his thoughts and access to his ways. Glory to God. Why? His thoughts reveal his ways. Hallelujah. Very important. All right, so having said that, when I say that God's perception is higher, or God's plane of perception is higher than man's plane of perception, is to help you pay attention to the perception of God, to pay attention to the God's viewpoints, to pay attention to God's realm of knowledge. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, I believe, it says for verse, I think that should be verse 23, 24. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That explains what I just said. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. That means if God says, okay, let me act foolishly, he's still at another level. At a level higher than the best of man's wisdom. Hallelujah. So what does this tell us? This is spiritual growth defined. That means spiritual growth is gaining God's perception. Is gaining God's perspective. Rather, I think it's better I use the word perspective. Spiritual growth is gaining God's perspective. You should write it down. And never forget it. When we say a person is growing spiritually, we are saying a person is increasing, okay, in his awareness, in his acquaintance of God's perspective. Glory to God. The person is gaining God's perspective. That's what spiritual growth means. That means your way of thinking, your way of seeing things has come up to God's plane, okay, in a measure. You are seeing things the way God sees them. You are seeing things the way God wants you to see them. You are interpreting life and interpreting situation from God's perspective. Glory to God forevermore. Don't forget that the same hot water that softens the carrot hardens the egg. Amen. So interpretation. When men are cast down, natural men in their wisdom say, say what you are feeling. We are cast down. But God in his plane of perception says, you should say, there's a lifting up. Now, that is not found in the arena of human reason. As far as man is concerned, give testimony to the witness of your senses. That is man's realm of reasoning. That's man's arena of perception. He says, you have to voice, you have to give testimony to the voice of your feeling. You have to give testimony to the stimulus from your environment. But in God's perspective, he says, when men are cast down, you should say, there's a lifting up. In God's perspective, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak declare that I am strong. That's God's perspective. In God's perspective, a 90-year-old man who had not had the child, whose name was called Abraham, should change his name to Abraham. Father of many. That's God's perspective. God said, change your name. You want this thing to happen, change your name. For the natural man, what's the connection between changing your name and what I want? To the natural man, name is just a means of identification. Name is just a means of maybe classification or identifying different people. But you see, in the realm of God's perspective, name is more than that. He says, Abraham, for you to become everything I programmed for you to be, part of the process is your name being changed. And Abraham began to introduce himself, no longer as Abraham, but Abraham. I said, what's your name? I am father of many. Father. No, imagine the mockery that would have attracted from men of the senses. What's your name? I am father of many. And at this point, he had hundreds of servants, probably thousands of people in his house, and he didn't have a child. And God said, look, come up hither. Gain my perspective. I am the God that call things that be not as though they were. With me, your future is history. So come and attend history class. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Gaining perspective. Every opportunity you have to listen to God's word, know that this is an opportunity, or it's an opportunity to gain God's perspective. And the more you gain God's perspective, the more miracles you see. The more of the supernatural life you live. The more you live life as so satanic oppositions doesn't exist. Very important. Oh, listen, life is tameable. Life can be tamed. Glory to God. You can live life as a god on the earth. You can live life as so Satan, as though Satan does not exist. You can live life as though you are not living in this world. People are wondering, are you in this world? And you tell them, I operate and I move with my own environment. Why? You are gaining God's perspective. Really, that's what spiritual growth is. You are exchanging human perspective for divine perspective. You are ascending to God's realm, to God's plane of vision, to God's plane of knowledge, to God's plane of perception and perspective. Is an ascent. And fellowship with the word of God affords that opportunity. You know, you can fellowship the word. According to the scriptures, the word of God is not the Bible. The Bible contains the word of God. Now, this is what has been canonized. Okay, and I believe in the canon, the canonized scriptures. I believe it was part of the orchestrations and the wisdom of the Spirit of God that we have these 66 books canonized in scriptures. And there's a strong prophetic adumbration to show us that, look, this is the material that God wants us to have. There's a strange book in the Bible called the book of Isaiah that also has 66 books. Amen. 66 chapters, sorry. I'm sure when the scholars met and canonized scriptures, I'm almost certain that they didn't think about it. But looking at scriptures and looking at what Isaiah represented and looking at the sequence of the revelation that Isaiah provided in his book, it will amaze you that, look, this was a prophetic adumbration of the number of books the canonized scriptures should have. Isaiah has 66 chapters. And the moment you cross to the Matthew equivalent of Isaiah, I think that should be Isaiah 44. Isaiah 40, right? The language is different. Comfort you, my people. He began to speak New Testament language. Comfort you, my people. Comfort you, my people, for the warfare is accomplished. That is not coincidence. So I believe in the intelligence of the Spirit, in the canonizing, as it were, of the scripture. But listen to me. The Bible contains the word of God. There is the living word. And the written word is a doorway to meet the living word. So the word of God, in fact, when you study St. John's gospel, he gives personality to the word. He said, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was with God, right? He said, the same was in the beginning with God. He says, all things were made by it, by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the civilization of man, was the light of man. Can you see that? He gives personality to the word. When you go to Hebrews 4, the same thing. Say, the word of the Lord is living and active. Oh, I love Moffat translation. He said the logos of God is a living thing. The word of God, he said the written, the word of God is a living thing. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of matter. And he said there's nothing hidden from him, from him with whom we have to deal. He gives personality to the word. When you fellowship with the word, that means your approach to the Bible, your approach to listening to messages, your approach to hearing the word being taught, being preached, your approach to studying scripture should be from the perspective of, look, I'm having fellowship with the person. And as I have fellowship with this person, my perspective is upgraded. Hallelujah. My perspective is upgraded. Oh, I can see differently now. I can have fellowship now with the thoughts of God. I can have fellowship now with the ways of God. I'm granted access into the mind of God, into the thinkings of God, into the collections of his thinking. No, what on earth is on God's mind? We have access. What on earth, what in the world is on God's mind? We have access. We can know the mind of God. We can know how he sees things. It comes by fellowship with the word. Fellowship in prayer. And fellowship with other brethren. Very important. And that is very important to God. Hallelujah. Because spirit, healthy growth is impossible in isolation. Go and listen to the blessings and the principles and the blessings of spiritual growth. Last year's series. Hallelujah. You know, cancer is a growth, but it's a bad growth. Many young people are growing badly because they don't understand God's pattern and God's order of growth. So gaining God's perspective, a critical factor is fellowship with other brethren under authority. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Under governance. Hallelujah. And the scriptures attest to that. Glory to God. See, I'm gaining God's perspective. Don't say it like you believe it. Online, are you with me? I'm gaining God's perspective. Hallelujah. I'm gaining God's perspective. Gaining God's perspective. Praise God. All right, so let's go into a two-part series that will teach today and next Sunday. Amen. Write it down. We are saviors, not survivors. Hallelujah. I thought somebody was going to shout. Please don't let the empty chairs intimidate you. Don't let the empty chairs intimidate you. Amen. They are following us online. Amen. I thought somebody was going to shout at that point. Hallelujah. We are saviors, not survivors. Mali Gebaya. We are saviors, not survivors. Obadiah 2. As somebody said, open to the book of Nahum. Say, Nahum. He said, that's all you miss when you don't attend Sunday school. Okay. When you miss Sunday school as a child. Growing up, we used to recite the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. How many of you did that? Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and Judges. Depends on the version you were taught. Hallelujah. Some of you learned it in native Bible. Learned your Hausa Bible, amen. Yoruba Bible, Igala Bible, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdoms shall be the Lord's. Now, let me give you perspective. The book of Obadiah was a prophecy to the mouth of the prophet Obadiah about the complete destruction of Edom, of the kingdom of Esau. Glory to God. Of a rivalry kingdom, which is a symbol of the kingdom of darkness. Glory to God. So this man began to prophesy about God's intent to destroy the enemies of Israel, to destroy that rivalry kingdom, okay, to weaken and annihilate the kingdom of the enemy. Let me put it that way. And then he began to prophesy from verse 1. It just has one chapter. You read it down. By the time you get to 16, 17, he starts saying, upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, you remember, and holiness. And the sons, the children of Jacob, shall possess their possession. Glory to God. And then he gets to the last chapter and shows us God's strategy. Are you following me now? He shows us God's. I need you to follow me. Listen, I need to follow me on this teaching. It has a very, very strong relevance in the time that we're in. Now, at the end of the book, which is verse 21, he gives us his formula. He gives us his strategy. I've said this over and over again, that if God ever had strategy for changing the earth, for checkmating Satan, for destroying the works of Satan, as far as this time and age is concerned, if God ever has a strategy to help the people of the world, to save the world, to help the needy, the church is a strategy. The church of God is God's strategy on the earth. Never forget that. God does not have any other strategy. You may say, oh, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is helpless on the earth without his body, which is the church. The Holy Spirit is limited without the partnership of the church. Someone say, are we ever powerful? Yes. You know, there are people that say God can go ahead and do anything he wants to do without man. That is not true. As far as his program for the earth is concerned, man has a central stage. You have a critical stage. A critical part in his agenda on the earth. And it's very important you understand that. He can't do it without his body. He can't. No, just look at Acts chapter 10. When Cornelius had to be saved. When you read the testimony of God about that man, God really loved him. Oh boy, God loved him. The angel appeared and said, your prayer and your arms had come up to heaven as a memorial, malokasa. As you know, a memorial, like a monument. It has come up as a monument. Listen, that means over time, your giving, your sacrifices, makabaya, your prayer can come up to heaven. Will come up to heaven as a monument. Will rise in heaven as a statue that must get heaven's attention. That means there's such a thing as building over time to get heaven's attention. He says your prayer, your arms has come up to heaven as a memorial, as a statue. This is why you should not give up. I told you spiritual things are non-linear. See, the results, okay, the impact, the explosion of the manifestation or the profit and benefit of engaging in spiritual things are non-linear. Meaning you can say, okay, if I pray 2 hours, is equal to 10,000 naira? No. If I can pray for 5 hours, I will get 100,000. It can happen today. Tomorrow, if you pray for 5 hours, you will not get 100,000. But you see, it works by the principle of if the cloud be full of rain. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. And listen, through the intelligence of the Spirit, sometimes this is why we pray in tongues. You may be praying and giving for something you think you are giving for. You may be praying and praying for your rent. You live in a 3-bedroom flat, your rent is maybe 400,000 or 600,000. You are praying and fasting, Lord, my rent, and putting in efforts. And even sowing your seed, you had 150,000, you came and gave it as a seed faith. And it's as though the day came, the rent was not there. Your landlord came and harassed you. And you are wondering, Lord, why did you do this to me? What you don't know is that in the realm of the spirit, that prayer was kept for you to have a duplex. To own it or not to rent it. So your heart, by the spirit, was praying to be a landlord. You were praying for rent, which is bigger. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Praise God. We are God's strategy. Back to Cornelius. I was talking about Cornelius, right? Cornelius the centurion in Acts 10 prayed and prayed and prayed. God loved him. God wanted him saved. But we saw the limitation of heaven. In that chapter, we saw the limitation of heaven. Listen, an angel appeared to Cornelius. He couldn't lead him in the salvation prayer. No, go and read it. An angel appeared to him. He had a visible encounter, angelic encounter. An angel appeared to him. I said, oh, Cornelius, God loves you. Your prayer has ascended to heaven. Your almsgiving. has come up to us, we can smell the aroma of your sacrifices over the years. But you see, God wants you to be saved. You know what you do? Send for a man. Send for a man. His name is Peter. He's in so-so place, in so-so person's house. Send men to fetch him. For he will tell you words by which you will be saved. Hi! He will tell you words by which you will be saved. Oh my goodness. That means words bring salvation. Words bring healing. The same way we can tell you words by which you will prosper. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, is somebody here this morning? We can tell you words by which you be healed. We can tell you words by which you have a successful home. We can tell you words by which you will prosper. We can tell you words by which money will start coming to you. We can tell you words by which you'll be saved. No wonder in verse 21 of that 1 Corinthians 1. He says, for when by wisdom the world knew not God, it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, he may save those who believe. He calls it the foolishness of preaching. What is the connection? The angel told Cornelius. He said, go and fetch Peter, who will tell you words by which you are saved. Listen, that's why I told you about gaining God's perspective. To the natural man, that is dumb and foolish. Don't you think so? Words spoken. And then by those words, as you respond to those words, you are saved. Words spoken. And as you respond to those words, you become a millionaire. Hiya. Words spoken. And as you respond to those words, you are married. Words spoken, as you respond to those words, you are healed. Hallelujah. Who will tell you words by which you are saved? Who will tell you words by which you are saved? The ministry of Jesus was propagated by his words. He produced results by the anointed words that he spoke. He said, I speak the words. They are not my words, they are the words of my Father. But he said, as I speak the words, John 14 verse 10. He said, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. That means the Father that dwells in us, which is the Holy Ghost, needs the words that we speak to work. He needs a word. So you wake up in the morning and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm a success. In the name of Jesus, I'm prospering supernaturally. Those are not empty words. Those words, the Holy Ghost will use them. In the name of Jesus, I'm a blessing to my generation. We're talking about saviors, not survivors. I'm still giving you introduction. In the name of Jesus, I arise as a savior from Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. To my hands, the kingdom of God is having the advantage. To my hands, the gospel is spreading like wildfire. In the name of Jesus, to my hands, humanity is helped. I am not the needy, I am the needed. You are speaking like that. Those words are not nothing. So the angel had to send him. I'm trying to create a picture of the necessity of man's partnership with God for God to carry out his agenda on the earth. And when we say man's partnership with God, we are talking about the church, which is God's only strategy on the earth. Listen, God, in case you don't know this, God does not have any other strategy apart from his church. The church is not the building. The church is you and I. And collectively, the local church. The congregating of his people. We are his only strategy. Are you listening to me? Peter had to come. And when Peter came and he began to speak, the Holy Ghost wouldn't have responded to the words of the angel. And the Holy Ghost was there all the while. He couldn't do anything until Peter spoke. And the Bible says, why Peter yet speak these words? Makotekepa. The Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard him. The Holy Ghost embraced them. The Holy Ghost hugged them. The Holy Ghost fell upon all them that heard him. Why Peter yet speak these words? Why Peter yet speak these words? The Holy Ghost fell until Peter began to speak the words. The Holy Ghost could not fall. The necessity of the church. The church has God's strategy. And if I don't forget that God had to convince Peter. You remember the vision, the trance he had when the sheep fell and he saw all kinds of animals. You were told by the law of Moses not to eat. And a voice came, he said, kill and eat. Peter said, Lord, I don't eat this kind of thing. Listen, he said, Lord, that means he wasn't in doubt of who was talking. The power of mindset. You see, this is what I'm about to attack with this series first. I want to shatter limiting mindset and then bring you on board into what God wants to do with you. Listen, until there's a realignment of our minds, of our way of thinking, there's a limitation as to how far God can use us. So I need you to follow me very carefully. We're talking about we are saviors, not survivors. Hallelujah. We are saviors, not survivors. We are saviors, not survivors. He said this is a strategy for bringing the world on his knees in absolute surrender. Savior shall arise on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the church. Mount Zion is a prophetic name given to the church. I can't go into all that. So what does it mean? Savior shall arise. And notice, it didn't say a savior shall arise. No, plural. Saviors, helpers, shapers of culture, leaders of generation. I told you to live or to survive is to settle for consolation prize. But to arise as a savior is to answer your call and to begin to shape culture, to begin to possess gates, to begin to do big things with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Oh, Rabaka Soshoto. Are you getting blessed already? There's a mindset required to partake or feature in what the Lord is doing and will yet do with his church in this end time. And what we call the end time revival runs on the templates of mindsets and mentality that is sustained by believers. Okay. You see, the end time revival, I've redefined what it means for you here before, by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost told me a few years ago, he says, let me redefine for you the end time revival. And he used the phrase, fire on the mountains. That means he's saying this revival will penetrate the various spheres of human endeavors. He called it fire on the mountains, in plural. You know what that means from Isaiah 2 and from Micah 4. Is that true? It's a fire on the mountains. So listen, for what the Lord wants to do with your life, what the Lord wants to do with his church, which is you, in this end time, is going to be on the template of our mindsets, of our way of thinking, of our perception. Listen, the preaching ideologies are important to God. You've heard me say it. We even had a short clip, okay, that we put out there about ideologies being important to God. That, listen, when God wants to propagate anything, even they are both important to God and Satan. I think that was what was in the message. That when Satan wants to propagate anything in a family, in a life, in a city, in a generation, in a nation, he begins to plant thoughts, and those thoughts forms a systematic body of concepts, which is what ideology is. Those thoughts formed over time, they're crystallized to form a unique characteristic way of thinking that is peculiar to that person, that is peculiar to that family, that is peculiar to that city, peculiar to that generation. He becomes a way of thinking. Then he can ride on it to carry out the wrongs. The same thing with God. He actually stole it from God. Because Satan does not create anything. He imitates and corrupts. When God wants to do anything in a generation, he introduces ideologies. Listen, the preaching of the gospel should produce an ideology. He should produce that systematic body of concepts about, especially about life. I said again, systematic body of concepts about life. There is the preaching of the gospel and there's the ideology that helps the propagation of the gospel. If you've been listening to me, this is not new. I'm still laying foundation. I need to follow me. Are you still with me? A missionary goes to a village, labors there, tries some social work, thinks the whole world ends in that village. Now, I'm not demeaning. There are people that can be sent to people group. And let me just end with my narrative. You understand what I'm saying? He's there. He can't heal the sick. He can't raise the dead. He has no money. He has no serious strategy. He just goes there with zeal and with traditional thinking. He's suffering. His children are angry with him. And they are wondering, Daddy, you're educated. What are we doing in this village? We can't even go to school. You can't pay our school fees. And he's saying, I'm suffering for the Lord. And 20 years passes. Nothing significant has happened in that place. Somebody just come one day with money and scatters the whole place. And introduces their own ideology. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, the man loves God. He has the gospel. But does not understand the ideology for the propagation of the gospel. I need to stay with me. Does he love God? Yes. Does he have passion for souls? Yes. But you see, there's an alteration that should happen in the mind that has not happened yet. Are you guys with me online? There's a shift in the mind that should happen that has not happened yet. I'm going to show you all through scriptures. The men that had to do with God. The men that God dealt with all through scriptures. How were they thinking? What was their perception? What was their perspective? What was their mindset? How did they see life? How did they approach life? How did they engage their time, their dispensation, and their generation? Were they timid and small? Listen, what most Christians are practicing is escapism. Escapism and survival. Just observe around. It's escapism and survival. And listen, an escapist cannot experience revival. The true revival. What is escapism? Lord, come and take us home. Come and take us home from... Well, Lord, when are you coming to take us home from this wicked world? From this corrupt, polluted world. Look at what the politicians are doing. Hey, look at what... Hey, the world is coming to an end. They listen on CNN. Gay, same-sex marriage law has been passed in California. They say, hey, the world is coming to an end. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and take us out. Really? Really? That's escapism. That has no reference to what Jesus communicated to the apostles. Oh, not at all. He's incongruous. There's no connection. That's escapism. And survival on the other side is settling for consolation prize. Ha, bro, you are still in the faith. Thank God we are still in the faith. Ha, we finished school 15 years ago. I remember them on campus, we used to burn. You have still kept the faith. You know, the world is so wicked now. Ah, you are still in the faith. Thank God for you. That's all that matters. Just keep the faith. That's survival. That's survival. Listen, when you study the parable of the talent, when you lay this testimony of some believers side by side with the parable of the talent, remember? You know where they will end up. You know what Jesus said? He said, a man that was given 5 talents, what did he do with it? He traded with it. He made it 10. The man that was given, is it 2 or so? Traded with it. Doubled it. The man that was given 1, what did he do? Ah, I'm still in the faith, thank God. He polished his talent. All that matter, the same talent you gave me, I'm still speaking in tongues. I'm still in the faith. I'm not womanizing. I'm not smoking. I'm still praying 1 hour every day or 30 minutes every day as I did when I... Are you listening to me? You are like the man that had 1 talent. What was Jesus' response? What did the master say? He said, you're a wicked servant. Wicked! You can now see. When you hear me preach that to stay in survival mode is wickedness, you can now see. When you hear me preach that living with the mindset of escapism is wickedness as a Christian, you can now see. I didn't say, the master said so. He said, you are a wicked servant. I gave you 1 talent, you just maintain it and you are feeling good with yourself. Actually, in his mind, he was justified. He was justified in his mind. He felt, well, at least I maintain the talent. No. The kingdom of God runs on ethical capitalism. You must produce results. You must produce results. You must be a fire. You must be a fire. You must be passionate for the next thing. You must be hungry to impact lives. You must be hungry to make a difference. You must say to yourself, there's something I can do. There's a change I can bring. In the name of Jesus, I can become a conduit for God to flow upon my generation. In my office, there's something I can do. In my neighborhood, there's something I can do. In the city, there's something I can do. In my family, there's something I can do. I will not maintain one talent. No, I will not maintain one talent and say, I'm feeling high. In those conversations years ago used to irritate me. What do you mean you are still in the faith? Bro, you are still in the faith. Thank God for you. What were you expecting before? Were you expecting to fall off from the faith? You can see the power of mindset. To them, you know, people say things like that when they believe that Christianity is hard. Christianity is hard. They were taught wrong. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, Rabba Kasaya. My yoke is easy. Whoever told you that Christianity is hard lied to you. They never encountered God. It's religion they encountered. Is falling in love hard? When you truly love a person and know how it works, is staying in love hard? Especially when the person loves you more than you love the person. Because that's a picture of Christ and us here. He loves us more than we love him. Is it hard to love such a person? He's not. Person who is always forgiving, always in your best interest, always there. When you read 1 Corinthians 13 about love, that's what Jesus practices on us every day. So how hard is that to love that person, to serve that person? Is it hard? No, Christianity is hard. So when you have that kind of mindset, there's somebody has fallen. You know those expression among those religious, you just say has fallen. He fell. Brethren, let's be very, very be careful so that we don't fall like Brother Jones did. And then they use him as example. And instead of reaching out, you see, in those days, that's why people got deeper and deeper into sin. Because people make mistakes. Instead of helping them out, they condemn them and use all kinds of religious language and create unnecessary theology out of it. Is somebody with me this morning? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What did Paul say? He said, we are not of them that draw back. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not escapism, but taking full responsibility for a generation. Dear Lord, I'm still laying foundation. Hallelujah. Look at the life of Jesus and the apostles. Were there survivors or saviors? Talk to me, somebody. Were there survivors or saviors? There were saviors. There were saviors. Oh, yes, there were. Jesus never played the victim. He never did. In John, you can put up John 5, John 9, verse 5. He says, as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of the world. Who talks like that? Who talks like that? He said, as long as I'm in this world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Look at this. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. No. Read that again. I'm listening to it with your inner ears. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. That is a statement of responsibility. And you say, as long as I'm in this family, I'm the light of this family. At least start from there. Your siblings are going haywire and you think you can't do anything about it. 70-80% of the people in your house are not saved. And you're a Christian. What are you doing about it? You are hustling every day. Saying you are putting body and soul together. You are in survival mode. When you rise as a savior, you will take responsibility. And that is what the Lord wants to do with you. taking responsibility, showcasing his power to you. He says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Meaning, I will lighten my world. Oh, and Jesus did. He lightened his world. He brought light to his world. He was truly a burning and a shining light. Jesus, Herod wanted to see him. But also certain Greeks came and said, we will see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. He was the light of his world. Light of the world. Light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 upwards, he told us, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what he said. You are the salt of the earth. Salt talks about preservation. Salt talks about giving taste and savor. That means the earth is tasteless without us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, with the whole COVID-19 thing, the whole world is already in a classroom waiting for who can give them lectures. And then to see that Christians propagating fear is disheartening. Wait, has God suddenly forgotten us here? Has the script in heaven changed? No, talk to me, you that you are listening to me. Has the script of heaven changed because of COVID? Has COVID become so big? And so the Antichrist is about to manifest. Let him manifest now. No, let him manifest. Do you know who the church is on the earth? Let someone come and say, I'm Antichrist. Say, okay, manifest. Let's see. Manifest. Let him manifest. As in Naruana, how does it concern us? Are you listening to me? And so what? Let's say the Antichrist just rose in Europe or in America or in Asia is China or is Antichrist. Okay. Manifest. The fear is unnecessary. Very unnecessary. And again, it's because of that mindset that we are survivors. So somebody is trying to see, let this thing not come to me. Hey. Now let me start hitting you hard now. Let me start hitting you hard. Because I'm challenging your mind. I'm challenging faulty mindset. I'm challenging the mental framework that will not bring in the king. Listen. Is only the emergence of saviors from Mount Zion that will usher in the coming of the Lord. Men who are reckless. Are you aware that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked into fire for what they believed? And they were not burnt. Oh, I love that expression in the book of Daniel. He said, come and see the men on whose body the fire had no power. Masuna Malaya. On whose body the fire had no power. Can it be written about us? That look at the men on whose body coronavirus has no power. Listen, it's time for the church to arise and respond properly. It's time. And not the response of intellectualism. The response of power and the supernatural. Because the generation will arise and begin to ask questions. Is healing power real? Is eternal life real? When we have all run into our rooms and not giving people handshake because they didn't sanitize their hands. Kai. Kai. Now by the responsibility of leadership, there are things we model to people because we know not many people are saved and we still lead them. I understand that. But when we come to the circle of the church, when we come to the inner circle of believers, brothers and sisters, certain conversations should not arise. Are you listening to me? Certain conversations we should not have certain conversation. How? Do you know who we are? We are saviors, not survivors. To survive, all survivors are those who barely go through. We have made it. We survived. No, sir. We tame the fire. We tame the water. Have it ready. He said, when thou passest through the fire, it will not burn you. When you go through the flood, through the waters, it shall not overflow you. Are you listening to me? As far as the body of Christ is concerned, certain conversations should not arise. We are saviors. And it's time for manifestations. Glory to God. It's time for manifestations. And I'm going to teach you on the making of a savior, the meal for saviors, and the mentality of saviors. I'm talking about the mentality of saviors. All right? God is seeking men. Listen. Those of you following online, God is seeking men who will give him platform for expression. Be that man, be that woman. You may never be on the pulpit like this preaching, but in your sphere, there will be no doubt that Kai, this is Jesus. There will be no doubt that this is Christ in human body. There will be no doubt that this is a God living among men. There will be no doubt that this man has come with a light from another world. That this lady has come with a civilization from another world. That this person has come with a light, a civilization, a life from another world. That's what God is doing with us. And we're going to let him. Hallelujah. We're going to let him. We're going to let him move us up hither. We're going to let him help us gain his perspective. We're going to let him. Listen, look around you and see the generation that God has called our generation to reach. If you are really a Christian and you know it's your responsibility to reach your world, just pause and look around. And you know that this joke has to stop. You will know. If not, life will just be you and your children in your house, living that consolation prize life. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So I'm helping us gain perspective, helping us have clarity as far as what is on God's mind in this time and age is concerned, in this season is concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right. So we see that a very careful sort of scriptures shows that we are envoys of the kingdom. We are extensions of the heavenly kingdom on the earth. Okay, it says we are citizens. It says our citizenship is in heaven. And I've told you what that means. It means we are extensions of heaven. Hallelujah. It means we are, the scripture reveals that we are true witnesses of the Lamb and the Lion. Hallelujah. Let me just show you something in John 17. We are saviors, right? John 17, 15. Very quickly, John 17 from verse 15. John 17 from verse 15 to 18. We'll read very fast. Are we there? You know, I love that statement. Read it for me. One to go. He says, this was Jesus praying. One of the prayers of Jesus that was recorded. This is the real prayer that Jesus prayed. Amen. What we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus did not pray it. I know you are surprised. I know some of you are even angry. Why would Pastor say Jesus did not pray the Lord's Prayer? Is it not called the Lord's Prayer? Did you read in the Bible that this is the Lord's Prayer? Did Jesus say, when I pray, this is what I say? He said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. There's a difference. He said, when you pray, say. He didn't say, when I pray, this is what I say. Now, this was one of the few places where his own prayer was written for us to hear. And it was basically a prayer of intercession and a prayer of fellowship. Glory to God. And in the midst of that prayer, he said certain things that we can glean from to give us perspective. He said certain things that gives us a revelation of who we are and why we are. Are you following me this morning? Am I boring you? Glory to God. Look at this. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Look at the first line. I pray not that I should take them out of the world. This is the prayer of some Christians. Take us out of the world. Jesus said, no. I'm praying that God will keep you in the world and just protect you from evil. Glory to God. You see that escapism doesn't fit into this. Lord, oh, let me just be ready when you come. Oh. So when the trumpet will sound, God, so that I will go. That's escapism. That's manifestation of escapism. Oh. When you see yourself as an envoy. No, imagine the consulate of United States of America in Nigeria. No, a consulate, a representative at the embassy. He's in Nigeria. But where he lives is America. I hope you know. That's number one. Number two, imagine that consulate thinking about America. When will you come and take me back? Would they even accept him when I go back to America? There's nothing like that. There's a sense of mission. You are here to represent the government of America. The same way every Christian is on the earth to represent the government of heaven. To legislate on behalf of the government of heaven is real. Are you listening? So Jesus said, I am not praying that I should take them out of the world. What a prayer. What the disclaimer. See, I'm not praying that I should take them out of the world. But that you should keep them from evil. Next verse, verse 15. We're reading to verse 18, 15, 16. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can you see this? We are not of this world. We are not of this world. I am not from this world. I am not a Nigerian. Are you listening? I live in Nigeria. I live in Africa. I'm not an African. That's harsh. No. Listen to Jesus having a conversation. He says, I came down from heaven. He says, I am from above, you are from beneath. Jesus, he says, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. Who talks like Jesus? I came down from heaven. You were born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, moved to Capernaum. At what point did you come from heaven? A consciousness. I came down from heaven. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That means we belong, we came from the same place. Are you listening to me? That's what Jesus says. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Meaning, both us and Jesus came from the same place. Next verse. Next verse. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Next verse. Now watch this now. He said, as you have sent me, as... Underline the word as. Meaning in the same degree and proportion that you have sent me. Even so, I also have sent them into the world. So we are sent into this world as Jesus was sent into the world. How was Jesus sent into the world? He was sent to the world as Savior of mankind. His name is Yeshua. Yeshua means Savior. He said, as you have sent me into the world, the same way I have. Oh, the same way I have sent them as what? As saviors. Are you getting it now? As saviors. I've sent them into the world. Next verse. Next verse. Let me show you something. And for their sake, I sanctify. Next verse. Need I pray for this alone? Look at this. This brings you in. Are you seeing that? He said, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. That brought you in. That means Jesus was praying for you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Are you blessed this morning? Now, when we look at the lives of our patriarchs, we see very clearly that they have this mentality of saviors. They knew they were not survivors. Your flesh wants to just survive. But refuse to live at that level. Refuse to accept it. That's what your flesh wants. You know your flesh doesn't like stress. But refuse to accept it. Refuse to accept it. Live according to God's vision for your life. Live according to what? God's vision. I enjoyed the teaching this morning. It's just to remind us and to challenge us that we are the ones to bring answers to the world. The Bible calls us the pillar and the ground of truth. We are the ones to define many things. Remember, it calls us light. What does light do? Light defines. Light illuminates. Amen. Light symbolizes leadership, leading, gives direction. and be bold about it. Be bold about it. Say boldly. And be determined to be raised as a savior. Remember, Jesus did not start saving the world when he was born. He had 30 years of preparation. 30 years of preparation. The making of a savior. 30 years of preparation. Now let me begin to talk about the making of a savior. Jesus didn't start saving the world when he was born. At age 12, we saw him in the temple asking questions and having conversations with the scribes and the doctors of the law, remember? But suddenly he disappeared. Why? That is not God's pattern. At 12, he wasn't ready. He had to be made. He had to be ready. At 30, when it was time, he got baptized. The Holy Ghost came upon him. He went into the wilderness, tempted, tested of Satan. Then he came out. Listen, you are a savior. I just used almost an hour to prove to you from scriptures that God's mind for his church is that he will have a church that will rise with the mentality of the needed, not the needy. A church that will rise with the mentality of saviors, not survivors. A church that will rise with the mentality of victors, not victims. A church that will bring solutions. A church that sees herself as an answer to the needs of the... I told you that God's plan is to have a fully activated church in this end time. Remember, that means both the pulpit, the so-called pulpit and the pew are activated to bring answers and solutions to the world. Activated. Fully activated. You're a banker. You are an activated Christian. Activated. To bring the power of God to that banking sector. You're a lecturer. You are an activated Christian. In the educational world. To bring the voice of God, the light of God, the civilization of God, the power of God upon that sector. Fully activated. You are ready to come with the power of God. Listen, all through scriptures, when God calls people, he makes them, then manifests them. So there's a calling, there's the awareness, and there's a subjection to the making. There's a subjection of yourself deliberately to be made. Deliberately to be raised. Deliberately to be brought up. The Bible talks about how Jesus was brought up to have certain customs. As a savior, you must be brought up. So that the value you add to your generation can be valuable. Do you understand? Oh, did you hear what I said? Listen, you can know that you're a savior. You can even have something to add to your generation. But it will be in little dimension if you are not raised. But listen, when you allow the making of the spirit, when you allow yourself to go through the school of the spirit, through the tutelage of the spirit, through the training of the spirit, the Bible says God puts them under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. When, listen, when you subject yourself to be raised by the spirit, the value you will add to your generation will be valuable. It will be significant. Are you listening? And sometimes, for some of us, God will allow us to be doing one thing or the other as the training and as the making continues. Are you listening? Making doesn't mean, okay, you should lie down in your house, wake up in the morning, just pray, read your Bible, and go back to sleep. No, you have to be engaged in the process. Are you listening? You have to be serving in the process. But you have to know that, look, this is still part of your preparation. This is still part of your making. This is still part of your training as a savior. Every savior is raised. Jesus was raised. Moses was raised. Joshua was raised. Gideon was raised. David was raised. Hallelujah. Every savior will be raised. We're talking about the making of a savior. I shared with you, I don't know, is the video ready, Pastor Peter? Choose the video. But very soon. You know, on Tuesday, you can go on the internet and watch the Tuesday message. If you have not watched it, go and watch it. I'm not watching it, washing plates. Amen. And those of you that follow online, hope you are not in a place where you are distracted. Follow properly. You are in service. You take notes. You give your offerings. Amen. I say it again. You are in service. So you sit down, take a place where you are not distracted. That's those following online. You take notes, you give your offerings, you shout hallelujah, you respond. Glory to God. On Tuesday, I shared about maintaining your focus, right? I talked about maintaining your focus. A part of the things I said was focusing on your vision. Focusing on your vision. Investing spiritual capital. Hallelujah. Investing spiritual capital into your life, into your vision, into your destiny. Amen. So there's a making that you must subscribe to. Okay, use the time you have in your hand in this season. Okay, and don't just waste it. Okay, be discreet, be circumspect. Be wise. Be smart with your time and with your life. Yield to the making. Feed on the materials. That's what we call the diet of saviors. Feed on the word. Have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of God. Incline your ears to his sayings. Pay attention. Yield yourself. Be patient with the dealings of God. I told you earlier in the service that the harvest or the dividends on spiritual things are non-linear. You remember? So a lot of... Listen, God will waste your time, so to say. If he really wants to do something substantial with your life, you will burn time in prayer, in studying, in service. You'll be burning time. It's part of the making. Imagine the Son of God. Imagine knowing you are the Son of God and you can't manifest. From when you were 12, you know it. You have so much knowledge. The doctors were wondering, where did you get this from? And then 18 years, you were quiet. 18 years, you were quiet. Understand the process of God. Understand the dealings of the Spirit. Understand service. Understand diligence, discipline, fellowshipping with the Word. Having protracted time of prayer. You pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray. And study and study and serve and serve. And give and give and give. And you come out as though nothing has changed. You continue. Is your making. Is your making. Amen. Is your making. One day the heavens will open. Remember Jesus. The Bible says he been baptized and praying. That was not the first time he was praying. He has been praying. That was not the first time. But on this particular day, the Bible says he came out of the water praying and the heavens opened. And something sat on him. Something sat on him. There will be a certain day where the Holy Ghost will overwhelm you. And suddenly all men will begin to seek you. There's a making. Jesus told them in Matthew 4, right? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's a making. I'm going to wrap up this teaching by stirring your appetite to subscribe to the making of the Spirit. Okay, don't be so in a hurry. Put your hand to work. Do what God has put before you to do per time. But see, don't be in a hurry to jump process. Serve. Wait on the Lord. Pray. Study. Research. Have fellowship with the Word. Walk in love. At certain seasons, listen, part of your making is that your love walk will be tested. Are you listening? You have to love people who don't love you. You have to love people who disrespect you. You have to love people who hate you. You have to love people who don't care about you. Your love walk will be tested. If as a certain season, certain people will come into your life, there will be a challenge to your love walk. Are you going to be a child and walk in hatred and in bitterness? That's a child. You are telling the Spirit you are not ready. Why not subscribe to that making process? Subscribe. Until you give to people based on God's word, not based on what they did to you. What does God's word say? You deal with them based on God's word. It's part of your making. It's part of your making. You have to forgive the people that hurt you. You have to let go. You have to love them. Sometimes you have to buy them gifts. You have to kneel on your knees and pray for them. It's part of your making. As you do that, you see that the nature of man passes out of your consciousness. It passes out of your being. And the nature of God gets a hold of you. Christ is formed in you. Oh, Paul said, my little children for whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. COVID-19 has come to pass. The question is if you are ready for the life after. Glory to God. And that's what the Lord is talking to you. Have a mentality of a savior. Don't think of survival. You'll be tempted to think survival, but don't. Have a mentality of a savior. The advancement of the kingdom runs on the shoulders of the emergence of saviors. People that think... No, come to think about it. Nehemiah was in a palace and doing well. Time will not permit us. I wrote them here. Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, Nehemiah. And then to the New Testament. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was comfortable. And they came and told him that the wall of Jerusalem is in ruin. And he began to cry. He forgot that he was an official. He began to cry. The mentality of a savior. The mentality of a savior. He left where he was. He went to fix God's house. The mentality of a savior. Never live for yourself. Live for a cause greater than you. I say it again. Never live for yourself. Live for a cause greater than you. Oh, I shout it again. Never live for yourself. Live for a cause greater than you. Never live for yourself. Live for a cause greater than you. Live for the gospel. Live for Jesus. Live for others. Most importantly, live for the gospel and live for Jesus. This is where real fulfillment is. This is where real satisfaction is. Live for Jesus. So I say, as I am, I'm just living for my children. Oh, hi. You are just living for your children. That is small. That is small. Your world is small. Your world is small. Jesus gave an instruction. He didn't say live for your children. Your children are part of the people you are to help. But let your vision be bigger. So when people talk, you know whether they are survivors or saviors. You are just living for your children. What about the other children on the streets who don't have anybody to live for them? What are you going to do about them? When you begin to think about them, you become a savior. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues right where you are. Just bless the Lord. Shalaga brando sushtepa. Iyaramaye godabayade. Iyaro sonane adodabayo. Hey, Aroga, so Nanaya, Daddy. Hey, Aragaba. Online, can you open your mouth and speak in tongues? Those of you in the hall, please don't keep quiet. Open your mouth and speak in other tongues. Just worship and bless the Lord. Jelege Brendo Sushta, Urabaka Sushta. Mande Aroga, so Nanaya, Daddy. Yaro, so Ragaba, Daddy. Hey, Aroda, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mako sila kopredo soshte prokopo soshata kopra. Can we pray in tongues for 2 minutes right where you are, online, on ground? Please don't pray lazy tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues that will touch your heart. Say, Lord, I answer my call as a savior. I respond. Shapato loko predo sista. Ayaro sabaga bayara baba baba. Ayaro sabaga bayara dadi. Ayaro samane yaro gabai. Ayaro gabasanane dadi dadara. Ayaro sabara gabayara re. Ayara baso na 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 baya. Ayaro sabara na 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 re. Aya dara baya ro su ra 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 ra. Iya ro 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 ro. Iya ro sa ba ra 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 re. Eya ra ba sa na maya ro su ro ga baya ra re. Come on, pray in tongues. I can't hear you. Those of you here, I can't hear you at all.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Come on, just speak in tongues and just honor Him. Just worship Him. Just pour your heart to Him. Sheba gabayarade. Semina lagaboya sonane arara. We worship Your holy name. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and keep the tongues in your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see somebody, you're lying down and watching me. The Lord is touching you right now. The Lord is touching you. The Lord is touching your home. That issue that just came up, I'm seeing an issue that just came up in your house. I'm seeing God responding supernaturally. I'm seeing God responding speedily, rather, in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing the Lord responding in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you need healing in your body, just take it, receive it. Receive healing to your body right now. You need healing for your mind to receive healing. Receive healing. You need an answer from the Lord. Receive your answers. Receive your answers. Receive light from heaven. Receive light from heaven. Receive light from heaven. Some of you watching me, you've been asking questions. You are saying, Lord, if this is this, then why this? The Lord is answering you, for the light of God is shining in your heart. The light of God is shining in the name of Jesus. You need healing in your body. The Lord is touching you. Receive your healing. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh, I partake, receive. Lord, I partake. Let me sing that song. Oh Lord, I receive. Lord, I partake. Lord, I partake. In your glory, and your power. I see miracles.
Signs and wonders.
In your glory.
And the power.
I see miracles.
Signs and wonders.
In your glory.
I see miracles.
Signs and wonders.
In your glory.
blessing, Lord, I receive it. I receive. Lord, I partake, Lord. I partake. Sing it again. Sing, Lord, I receive.
Lord,
I receive everything that you have in store for me.
I receive.
I partake of the blessings that you have in store.
Lord,
I partake. In the glory.
In your glory.
I see miracles.
I see miracles.
Signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive your healing.
Oh, yeah.
Receive that touch from God that you need.
Oh, yeah.
Receive that answer that you need. In the name of Jesus. I see great miracles. I hear a sound of rejoicing.
Oh,
I hear a sound
yeah.
of testimonies. I hear great sound of testimonies.
Oh, yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is, the power of God is on you. The power of God is on you. Can you receive this money? Don't get distracted by who is not around, by dispersing. Can you receive the anointing of God's Spirit is on me? Can you receive this money? Speak in tongues. Those of you online, can you receive this money? Can you receive? Can you receive? Can you receive? Can you receive this money? Thank you, Jesus. Mako sashataka braka paso shataka. Shataka braka paso shataka braka paso shataka. Hem shataka braka paso. Shataka braka paso shataka. Shataka pachata. Joy, can I pray for you? Just a joy, just go. Shataka braka paso shataka braka paso shataka. Shataka braka paso shataka braka paso. I see a strong. No, you don't need to kneel. Just stand. Just stretch your hands. Bring your other hand. I need somebody to stand behind her. The hand of the Lord. I see the hand of the Lord resting mightily upon you. I see prophetic fountains turning loose. And I'm seeing the Lord touching your womb. And I'm saying, Lord, why are you touching her womb? And the Lord is saying, it's both physical and spiritual. Liga brundo sushta prokoposo shata koprakapasa shata. Malako prakapo out of your womb spiritually. Liba kotoka prakaposa. Dispensations will be birth. Liga brunda sushta potoka prakapa. Things will come out upon the earth. And physically, I'm seeing the Lord visiting you. Liba kapasa. And causing you to bring forth godly seeds. Unhindered, nothing will stop it. Nothing. Lord, at the count of three, let your fire rest upon her. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! Jesus! Nanados! Iarogazabasanane. Just take it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you receive something? Did you receive something? Amen. Did you receive something? Make sure you share your testimonies. Amen. Make sure you share your testimonies with us. Is that okay? Make sure you share your testimonies. Good things are happening. Make sure you share your testimonies with us. Amen. Those of you following across different platforms, make sure you share your testimonies with us. And remember to give your offerings, your tithe, your special seeds online. Amen. The bank details are up, okay, for your tithes and offerings. Okay, and always as a culture, as a discipline. When you follow a service online of your local church, when you follow a service online of your local church, okay, or any service. Many times when I follow other services online, I send my offerings there. Okay, I send offerings for that service.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.